People were generally not using the term Asian American when Corky Lee started taking pictures of that community in New York City's Chinatown. Over the next five decades, he documented Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders celebrating life and countering racism all over the country. Lee died in 2021, and now some of his best work is highlighted in the book Corky Lee's Asian America, 50 Years of Photographic Justice. Columbia University history professor May Nye, one of the book's editors, visits the Jefferson Exchange to give some radio descriptions of that work and to talk about Corky Lee's impact. May Nye, good morning and welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with a broad overview of Corky Lee's life and work, how he got involved in photography, and why he decided to pursue a social justice theme in many of his photographs.
Corky was born in Queens, New York, in 1947. He was occupied a particularly interesting place in history at the end of the Chinese exclusion era, but before the immigration reforms of 1965, which opened up new immigrations from Asia. So he had a unique vantage point of experiencing an old era passing and a new one happening before his very eyes, and he documented that change with alacrity.
Was he more of a documentarian than a journalist?
He was both, but I do believe he saw his purpose as being broader than journalism. That was one of the venues for his documentation. But he photographed nearly every event that took place, especially in the New York City area, that concerned Asian Americans. And I think he left us an amazing treasure of how our communities grew and changed over 50 continuous years.
In looking through the book, I'm struck by his passion for photographing ordinary people. I was watching an interview online, and I believe he said something to the effect that he wasn't that interested in photographing very many famous people. There's a photograph in the book of some Asian Americans meeting Muhammad Ali. But generally speaking, a lot of the photographs are just people living their ordinary lives and concerned with issues that were a part of the time in the 1970s, or specifically part of the Asian American community. Can you talk a little bit about his passion for documenting ordinary people?
Absolutely, and that's a great observation. You know, Corky was one of the very first, if not the first, photographers in New York who captured Chinatown from the inside. Previously, photographers were typically white Americans who saw Chinese people in Chinatown as exotic, definitely as foreign and not American. And Corky wanted to show that Asian Americans were ordinary people. He would often say, Chinatown is a real place with real people. It's not a tourist drive-by. And he shows, you know, restaurant workers, children, garment workers, people walking down the street. He shows them to us as real people, but also, I think, different from some social photographers who want to, you know, evoke sympathy for the downtrodden. Corky's photographs are never about people who are abject. They all have dignity. They all have real personalities. And I think this is one of his greatest contributions. You know, he used to say, I want to slay stereotypes one photograph at a time.
It's difficult sometimes to describe photographs on the radio, but I'd like to switch to the other side of it from the ordinary people. Three of his more famous photographs, and let's talk about these one at a time. Let's start with the 1975 police brutality photograph of the man who was struck by a police officer, and he captured that shot. Tell us a little bit about that photograph.
That photograph was taken in front of City Hall in New York was part of a demonstration or in a march of 20,000 people from Chinatown who were protesting an earlier police beating of a guy in Chinatown who basically stopped to object to police clubbing somebody during a traffic altercation. And that man's name was Peter Yu. So there were these big demonstrations against the brutality of Mr. Yu. And at this particular moment in front of City Hall, the police were rounding up people, and Corky captured this shot of a guy with a bloodied head being dragged away by two cops. And the thing about it was that Corky knew he was, you know, in New York. I mean, your listeners may not know this. In New York, the New York Post offices were just maybe a half mile from City Hall. So Corky sprinted down to the Post and got that picture on the front page of the evening edition.
We know that the Chinese workers played a very important role in parts of American history. Here in southern Oregon, they worked in some of the gold mines in the early days. And there has been some efforts in recent years by archaeologists to unearth some of that community's, I don't know what you want to call it, relics or evidence of their being here.
Right.
And of course, there has been, we kind of knew, at least I knew, that the Chinese had an important role in building the Transcontinental Railroad. But this particular issue, there's a photograph from the 1800s where the two railroads are meeting and the spike being driven in Utah. You don't see Chinese workers that were a part of that. And this had a big impact on Corky. Could you talk a little bit about that? And later, the photograph that he produced with Asian Americans at that site.
Corky was in junior high school when he saw that the first photograph, the one taken in 1869. And he looked at it and he said, "Where are the Chinese? You know, we Asian Americans, especially back in, you know, the days, you know, in the 1960s, we didn't know very much about our own history in this country. But we all knew we built the railroad." And Corky was astounded that there were no Chinese in that picture. So it became a kind of exemplar for him of the injustice in American photography and the erasure of Chinese from American history, our invisibility in the building of this country. And Corky really believed that invisibility was in large part why so many Americans thought and continue to think that we're foreigners in this country, that we didn't have a part in building this country. So in 2014, he initiated and organized a reenactment of that 1869 photo, but this time with Chinese Americans and Asian Americans in the crowd. So a couple hundred people heeded his call. They made their way to Promontory Point. It included quite a few people who are direct descendants of railroad workers, which is pretty amazing if you ask me.
Yeah.
And Corky considered that photograph to be his best work of photographic justice, what he called photographic justice.
There's another photograph that's very powerful, and it struck me. Of course, in the wake of 9/11, there were many Americans who were singled out unjustly and believed to be a part of a conspiracy to do all of this. And he took a photograph of a Sikh man who was wearing an American flag and held together with a little smaller American flag, the kind you wave in your hands. A very powerful photograph, a photograph that says, "We are American too." Can you describe that photograph for us?
That is a very powerful photograph. It was taken at a vigil called by the Sikh community in Central Park, New York, the Saturday after the 9/11 attacks. And many people came out for that. They're all holding American flags. And you can see in this man's face a kind of real pain, you know, real pain at the position that his community has been put in. And so he's draped in the flag. He's holding another flag. Beside him is a child, perhaps his daughter, we don't know, also with the flag. And it's a very somber and moving photograph, and it's been used a lot. It was one of the main publicity photographs for a big series on Asian American history that PBS produced a few years ago. So that also remains one of Corky's most iconic photographs.
There are many great photographs in here. I've been a fan of black and white photography my whole life, and even after the digital age, he still worked a lot in black and white photography. Why did he make that editorial choice as opposed to more color photographs?
Well, he took photos in both black and white and color, but he often took photos in black and white because he could print them in his own darkroom more easily than color. And I think it was both a practical choice, but also I think an aesthetic choice.
In the 1970s, of course, New York City had a reputation as being a pretty gritty place, and perhaps the black and white photography captured that better than the color. As you were going through and deciding to make selections for this particular book, you obviously had thousands of choices that had to be made. Talk about that process and what informed you in the selection of these particular photos, both you and was it Mr. Eng who also worked on the book as well?
Right. My colleague, Chi Wong Eng, and I actually had a very easy way to pick the photos. You know, Corky once said he took an average of 200 photographs a week. So over 50 years, that's over 500,000 photographs.
Wow.
But we started with the photos that Corky himself had selected for a book that he wanted to self-publish. That was in 2011. So he picked out 100 photographs. They're mostly of Chinatown and Chinese. And so I think that's a fair representation of what he thought was his best work, right? Mm. So we started with that 100. And then for the last decade of his life, we turned to photographs that Corky had himself chosen to show at exhibits in galleries or at college campuses, and also photographs that he gave to creative artists who were making films or compendiums, you know, like the PBS series that I just mentioned. He worked with them over the course of a week, I think, going over a vast selection of his photographs. So the core body of work in the book comes from photographs that we think we can safely say were photographs that Corky had selected as representing his best work. And then we filled things out around, you know, to make things more diverse maybe, or filled out different themes. But the core of the book, you know, there's over 250 photographs in the book. So in a sense, it's a small selection of his total body. But we think it might be close to what he would have published himself.
We have about a minute left. Let's talk a little bit just quickly about the challenges. As I understand, he was mainly a freelancer for most of his career, wasn't he? And that had to be tough, especially, I would think, at the cost of living in New York City.
Yeah, his work was really a labor of love. You know, he had a day job, which is actually interesting because he worked at a print shop in New York called Expedi, which is no longer in business. But for many years, it was the go-to place where ethnic groups and, you know, progressive organizations went to have their leaflets printed. So Corky knew in advance, you know, when events would take place, and he'd be able mm-hmm. to go and capture them. This was before Facebook or social media. So, you know, he did sell some photographs freelance to periodicals, you know, ranging from the New York Times to local Lower Manhattan newspapers. But mostly it was a labor of love.
We have been speaking this morning with May Nye, one of the co-producers of a book on Corky Lee's life in Asian American. And the photographs, as mentioned, more than 50 years of photographing that. He died in 2021, one of the victims of COVID, as I understand. But May Nye, thank you so much for sharing this with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, and I hope people will buy the book. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's it for today's exchange. You can find out more about the program and subjects we have at jeffexchange.org. We also provide show topics and recordings on our Facebook page. The production assistant today from Zach Beagle. I'm Milt Radford. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange right here on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.